Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be studying the 18th parak of Mishlei Parak Yitzchas. And the first pasuk that we're going to study in this parak is pasuk Yud Zayin, which reads Tzadik Harishon Berivoy. The one who pleads first seems to be in the right. Uvarei Ehol V'chakaroi, and then his neighbor comes forward and interrogates him. So this is discussing an unfortunate reality of a courtroom scenario when two people go to court or to Beis Din. The one who presents his case first, he's the one who always seems to be right. His case seems more compelling, more powerful, just by virtue of the fact that he presented first, and just because we haven't yet heard from the other side. And this isn't just about courtrooms, this isn't just describing courtrooms, but it's describing any time that someone's listening to two different sides of a story, between children, between business partners. When you're listening to two sides of a story, it's human nature to believe the one who presents their version of events first. And that version often sounds compelling, it often sounds correct until you hear the other side. And then even when you hear the other side, it's very difficult sometimes to change the impression that's already in our consciousness from hearing the first side. The impression from the first party, it leaves a certain imprint that can be very hard to change. So now whilst we can't change the fact that the person who speaks first has an advantage, it is what it is, and someone always has to go first. So still there are certain halachas that are in place that can minimize the effect of this bias. So for example, we have a halacha that a dayan is not allowed to listen to one side unless the other party is also present. The case can only be heard in the presence of both parties, and this is so that one side shouldn't have the advantage of being able to make their case in like an exclusive setting before the other one arrives. Now to think about this concept in practical terms, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichos Musa, he says that there's also a psychological insight here. And this insight is not just relevant in courtroom situations or in situations where someone's judging between two sides. And that is that we tend to believe the first version of a story that we hear. And once that version of a story is planted in our minds, it becomes very challenging, very tricky to change that narrative later on. Like when we read a news article or an opinion article, or if we tell ourselves a certain story or narrative, then that first thought or that first position is very often the one that we stick with. If we have a first impression of someone that maybe isn't so don lekaf zechus, if we have a negative first impression of someone, it can become very hard to change our perception of them. Even if we later find out that that first impression was mistaken, it's very hard, he says, to undo an opinion. We stubbornly hold on to our ideas and our opinions and our positions, and it's much, much harder to change someone's mind than to put something in their mind in the first place. And our Reb Chaim Shmulevitz adds another layer of implications to this pasuk and to this idea. And he says that even when we know we made a mistake, it's very hard to admit mistakes and reverse our position. Same thing. We keep trying to justify our original position, even when we've been shown that we're definitely wrong, because tzadik harishon berivoy. The first position that we heard, the first position that we had, it's always the correct one in our minds. And we justify what we thought, we justify what we did, because it's very hard to backtrack from our position. It's very hard to admit that we were wrong, because tzadik harishon berivoy. And he brings a very harrowing example of this about a man called Chiel Ha'eli in Melachim Aleph. So what happened was when Yehoshua destroyed the city of Yericho, he put a chirim on it, he put a ban on it, and he prohibited anyone from ever rebuilding the city. And he promised that if anybody ever tries to rebuild the city of Yericho, he's going to lose his children. Yehoshua's exact words were that he's going to bury his firstborn son as he lays the foundations, and then he'll bury his last child as he fixes on the city gates, meaning he's going to progressively lose every single child in the process of rebuilding this city. Now, years later, in the days of Achav, there was a man called Chiel Ha'eli, and he rebuilt Yericho. And this is exactly what happened to him. As he laid the foundations of the city, his firstborn son, Aviram, died. And as he fixed on the gates, his youngest son, Segub, died. This was exactly what Yehoshua had promised in the name of Hashem. What's crazy is he saw the Nevuah coming true and he didn't reverse his position. He couldn't back down. It's mind-blowing. He had child after child dying. He was burying child after child. You would think that after he buries his firstborn, he realizes the Nevuah is going to come true and he would admit that he made a mistake and he would stop. He can see the Nevuah materializing. He can see this is not coincidence. And yet he cannot back down. And how can this be? And it appears that it's easier for him to bury his children than to admit that he made a mistake. And do we not, unfortunately, all know people like this on some level maybe, or recognize an element of this within ourselves on some level, that sometimes we dig a deeper and deeper hole, and we even get to the point where we self-destruct because it's too hard for us to admit that we made a mistake. But then on the other hand, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis says, Kol ha'oise aveira umispayish bo, moichlin lo al kol aveinosav. If one sins and then feels shame about it, if you can admit your mistake, if you can reverse your position to the extent that you're embarrassed that you made a mistake and you can admit it was a mistake, then you're elevated to such a level that all your sins are forgiven. So to summarize so far, a judge has to be very aware of the bias that's embedded in hearing the first side of the story, and he has to be conscious of allowing the possibility of another different position to be correct, even if the first one sounded pretty compelling. And then we also have to be aware of our own biases towards ourselves and admit where we might be wrong, even though our justifications, they feel very compelling to ourselves. And we have to be willing that to admit that maybe there's another side, maybe there's another possibility, maybe there's another way of looking at this. Now the next pasuk that we're going to study today is a famous one, and it's quoted very often, pasuk kaf aleph, and it's also a core theme in Mishlei that's expressed in a lot of different pasukim in different ways, but maybe it's expressed most explicitly in this one. Moves v'chayim b'yad lashon, v'ohaveha yochal pirya. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat its fruit. Meaning they that love proper speech, good speech, shall enjoy its rewards. And this pasuk is often quoted in the context of the power of speech. It's often quoted to prove that speech is so powerful, it can destroy lives, life and death are in the hands of the tongue. Through Lashon Hara, through Machlokas, you can destroy so much through creating strife. But what I want to focus on today is the other side of the coin. Because in this pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech also says that Chayim b'yad Lashon, that life is in the power of the tongue. And if you use your tongue appropriately, Yochal Piryo, you'll reap the positive benefits of that. I'd like to focus on the life aspect, not just the death aspect. Because while we know that speech has the power to destroy lives, we also know that it has the power to create, it has the power to give life. So let's talk a little bit about this tremendous power of speech of man. We know that when Hashem created man, he blew a part of himself into us. And this is what differentiates us from animals. And this is the point where we became elevated above animals. The pasuk says, "Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim," he blew into him a soul of life. And man became what is known as a nefesh chaya. Now, Unkelos famously translates these last words, lenefesh chaya, as the ruach memalelo. Man became a speaking spirit. In other words, what we receive at the moment when Hashem blows a neshama into us, at that moment when we become elevated above animals, when He gives us a neshama and we become betzelem elokim, what do we receive? Speech. Meaning the thing that defines us as being in the image of Hashem and puts us into a completely different category to animal, that defining feature is speech. When Hashem blows a neshama into us, we become speaking spirits. Now in Hashem's world, speech is a method of creation. Like we say, Baruch she'amar v'hoyah ha'olam. Blessed is he who spoke and the world came into being. Ba'asara ma'amaris nivra ha'olam, says the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. With 10 utterances, Hashem created the world. His mechanism for creation was speech. He said something and it came to be. Vayomer Elokim yehi or, he said with words, let there be light, and there was light, and so on. So Hashem creates the world through speech. Now if we plug all these ideas into each other, what we said is we're created in the image of Hashem. And being in the image of Hashem means being able to speak. And being in the image of Hashem also means having powers to create, as we discussed in Perek Ches. And we said Hashem creates with speech. So when we join all these different points together, what we have is that we have the power to create with our speech. Again, we have the power to create with our speech. Chayim biyad lashon. Speech is life-giving. Life is in the hands of the tongue. It can build, it can create. And we know this to be true in a halachic sense and in an emotional sense and in a Kabbalistic sense. We know that when a person makes a neder, they create a new halachic reality. If someone makes a neder not to eat cornflakes, until now, cornflakes were kosher for them, and they were parif, and they could eat them at any time. But now, with their speech, they've created a reality where cornflakes are forbidden, a new reality created by speech. When we say a bracha on something, it creates a new reality. It changes from something that was previously forbidden for us to eat to something that's now permissible to eat. When we daven, we have the power to create new realities with our speech. And when we give a person a bracha, for example, we also create new realities. right? That's why the bracha said that others gave their children was such a big deal. Whereas the Sefer Chinuch says the flip side of that is chas v'shalom, a curse also has the power to create a reality. So, you know, if a curse is just words and then words don't matter, we wouldn't have been so concerned with Bilam cursing us. But words create realities. And then obviously on a personal and emotional level, we've all experienced how speech can be so life-giving and so affirming if someone expresses that they believe in you. You know, years ago, my mother met one of my high school teachers. She was a teacher that I really respected and I really liked very much, but she did not know me at all. And I guess she wanted to be nice to my mother, even though she didn't know me at all. So she said something nice about me or something, and then she said to her, "I have a feeling that everything she touches will turn to gold." Now, this shouldn't have meant anything to me, because like I said, this woman taught a lot of girls, and she only taught me for a very short amount of time, and she didn't know me. But for some reason, since then, and this is decades ago, every time I start something new, or I try something that requires courage, I think of those words that she said, "Everything she touches will turn to gold." And like I said, this is decades ago. And some of the things that I've done since then, maybe I hope have turned to something good. But some things have turned to absolute ash. And still, every single time I try something, I remember it. And it gives me confidence to try new things. It's bizarre and I don't understand it at all. But I can tell you from here that words create. So in the same way that we're careful to refrain from words that destroy, we should be just as careful, maybe even more careful, to use our words that create and that build people and that generate positivity. Because this is our superpower, so we can't afford to waste it. And the Chafetz Chaim illustrates this with a great mashal. He says, imagine someone borrows a sum of money from his friend for a certain amount of time. And then the day comes to repay the loan. So the lender asks the friend for the money back, right? He asks him to return the money. And the borrower says, sure, no problem. I kept the money very safely stored in a box in my room and I made sure that nobody would take it. What a fool. I didn't lend you the money so you could keep it safely and not touch it. I lent you the money so you could use it, so you could invest with it, so you could create with it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we shouldn't be so afraid of using our speech for bad things that we stop speaking. Hashem didn't give us the gifts of speech so that we could store it away safely and not touch it. He gave it to us so we could use it in a positive way. And apparently they say the Chafetz Chaim was an extremely talkative person. But we were given this gift so we could create with it, because Chaim biyad lashayim. In Perek Yud Aleph, we spoke about the Rachel, the person who goes around peddling information from person to person, and he spreads stories and he spreads secrets that he's not allowed to share. There's a well-known story that's brought in the Medrash Vayikra Rabbah and also in the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. And it describes a certain Rachel, a peddler, who went around town and he was shouting out, "Who wants life? Who wants life?" And people crowded around him so that they could buy this magical potion for longevity. And he said to them, "If you want life," he quoted the pasuk from Tehillim, "Mi yo'ish ha'chafetz chaim, who wants life? Netzar l'shoncha meira, guard your tongue from speaking evil. Sor meira, stay away from bad, va'asei tov and do good." Now, like I said, the story of the peddler going around shouting, "Who wants life?" it's very well known. But what struck me is the use of the word rachel, that it was a peddler. Could have used a different word. It was a man going around town shouting, "Who wants life?" But it's a peddler. It's a rachel. And I heard a very beautiful interpretation for this from Rav Lapiansky. And he says that the implication is this man used to be a rachel. He used to be a peddler of bad information. He used to go around sharing who's dating whom and whose business is in trouble and whose business is doing well. That's what he did. He was a rachel. And now he's still going around and he's still peddling information. He's going around and he's sharing information. But this time, what information is he sharing? Something so positive, something so powerful. A message about the value of speech. So he takes this very powerful concept of speech and the power to impact people with words. And he doesn't say, "I'm throwing it out because I can see how powerful and how bad it was." He doesn't stop using it. But instead he uses it and he uses it to change lives for the better. Because it's not just moves that's in the hands of the tongue. It's also chayim, that speech is so powerful. And the pasuk that this rachel shares, he doesn't just say, "Don't speak badly." He says, "Sor meira va'asei tov, stay away from bad and also use your tongue for good." The Gemara says, don't think you should guard your tongue by going to sleep. Okay, those are the exact words of the Gemara. Va'asei tov, do good with it. It's your superpower. Do positive things with it. We want to use our superpower of creation for Torah, for tefillah. We want to use it to build people's worlds. We want to use it to create. So to summarize the two ideas in this parak, in the first pasuk Yud Zayin, we discussed being aware of our biases And we discussed the need to sometimes go back and backtrack on our position and admit that we got something wrong. Tzadik harishon berivo. And in the second pasuk, we discussed using our gifts of speech in a creative and powerful and life-giving way. Chaim biyad halashon. Thank you for studying together in the merit for Refuah Shleima for Yonina Simma Bas Daphna Hinder and the wounded members of Tzahal amongst those who are ill among Klal Yisrael. Sponsored by Nina and Chaim Shenker.